Thank you for tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah. And if you are a returning listener, thank you so much for joining me again. I really appreciate it. If you're here for the first time, that's wonderful. I'm so happy that you found us. As with prior weeks, we will be again looking at the lectionary texts assigned for this week, which is August 28th, 2016. And if you are joining me for the first time, then I'll just let you know that the lectionary texts are assigned texts that some churches use. It's a rotating three-year cycle, and it's assigned texts for every Sunday in the church year. And those texts are divided into readings from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the New Testament, and the Gospel. This episode itself is split into two parts, and in this first part, we'll be talking about the Old Testament reading from Proverbs 25 and the Psalm, which is Psalm 112. Now, both of these texts, I think, are interesting for their own reasons. The text from Proverbs is only two verses long, which seems a bit unusual at first glance. We don't usually get readings assigned for the church year or to read during church service that are only two verses. But that will become clear, hopefully, as we go through this. And then the psalm for today is an acrostic poem in Hebrew. And it doesn't translate as such in English, but we'll talk more about that again when we get into this episode. And we'll talk more about both of these texts and what makes them interesting, at least to me. And hopefully you'll find something interesting in here as well. But first, we do have to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about this week's text from Proverbs. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. The first text we will be discussing today is from Proverbs chapter 25, verses 6 through 7. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. And that's it, just two verses, Proverbs 25, verses 6 and 7. And as I said in the intro, it does seem a little strange to only be reading two verses, but this does go with the gospel reading for today, so that'll make sense as we go through both halves of this episode. And as I also said, Proverbs initially does seem something of an odd choice as a lectionary reading because, you know, we don't often get readings that are only two verses. And it's strange to have a reading that doesn't make any sort of reference whatsoever to God. In my tradition, which is Lutheran, readings from the book of Proverbs only occur three times during the course of the lectionary cycle. So as I mentioned in the intro, the lectionary cycle is 3 years. So that averages out to just one reading per year. And as I also said, this choice does make more sense in light of this week's gospel reading from Luke, which we'll talk about in the second half of this episode. Before I get to some of the commentaries and get into some more of the detail about these texts, I do have a few thoughts just in general about this reading that I'd like to share with you. Proverbs is one of the books that I did with my women's Bible study group at my last congregation. And the women in that group had mixed reactions to it. They enjoyed it as a book, parts of it at least, but we had difficulty doing the book as a whole because it is fragmented into sayings or proverbs. It isn't a narrative story, so they did have some trouble with that. It is considered wisdom literature, which they appreciated, but they began to feel like it was a bit redundant after a while. You know, these little snippets of information, just these little bits that you can read verse in one or two or three verses. And they got a little frustrated and they wanted to move on to something else. It did actually open up some good conversations, and we talked about modern proverbs, modern wisdom literature, and the difference between a proverb and a cliche, etc. So we did have some really good conversations about that, but Proverbs itself is a bit of a strange book if you're not used to it. It's certainly a good book, though, to read on those days when you want a bit of a Bible study, but you might not have much time. You don't feel like you have time for anything too long, because you can actually just read a few verses at a time and still feel like you're getting some Bible study in. As I mentioned, this book is classified as wisdom literature, and other books that are classified as wisdom literature include Job, certain of the Psalms, Proverbs, of course, Song of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes. The book of Proverbs itself is a collection of essays, poems, and sayings expressing the wisdom of ancient Israel. Some of the material originated as folk wisdom circulating in the family or clan. Other portions, for example, Proverbs 22:17 through 24:22, appear to be designed for use in the royal court, intended for the instruction of young men who would become political leaders. So we ask ourselves, as we read these two verses today, what is the content of this material? And we don't need to deal with the big questions every day, such as the meaning of life, or the problem of evil, or why bad things happen to good people. In day-by-day living, there are all sorts of smaller but still important questions, and these are some of the things that the book of Proverbs addresses. For instance, how should I handle my financial affairs? How should I relate to friends and colleagues? What about relationships to the opposite sex? What can I do to maintain a healthy marriage? How should I treat the widow, the orphan, the poor, the stranger, the aged? These are the sorts of things that Proverbs addresses. As the major theme of the book of Psalms is praise of God in heaven, the chief concern of the book of Proverbs is to aid in the pursuit of a good life on earth. So think of it as a book of wisdom. Well, it is wisdom literature, so it's a book of wisdom, a book of sayings that can help us to answer some of those everyday questions of life. And as I was reading this proverb and thinking about the text for this week, I was actually thinking about an experience that I had when I was in sixth grade band. Growing up, for the longest time, I knew that I wanted to play the flute. In fifth grade, we got to choose our instrument if we wanted to be in band. And I just knew I wanted to play the flute. Oh, I was desperate to play the flute. I could not wait until the fifth grade. And finally, fifth grade got here, and I jumped in, and I learned to play it, and I loved it. And fifth and sixth grade, we had private lessons as well as rehearsal with the whole band. And private lessons were about, I think they were once a week, and then, you know, rehearsal with the whole band was several times a week. And one day during my private lesson with my band teacher, he gave me a solo to work on. I was so excited, and I was so proud that he thought I was ready for a solo, because I'd been working so hard, and all I wanted was to play the flute, and here I was doing it, and he gave me a solo. As I said, I was so excited, and my lesson was right before band practice. So when everyone else came in, I was so excited to tell my best friend, who also played the flute, so she sat next to me, that I got to do a solo at one of our concerts. As a flautist, I sat in the front row, so I was right in front of the director. I was right in front of the band teacher. And at that point, he actually stopped the entire class to tell me, in front of everyone, that I wasn't actually going to do the solo at a concert. He hadn't given me the solo for that reason, because he didn't think I could do it, and he thought I would screw it up if I played it in public. He thought I would get too nervous and that I wouldn't be able to do it. I was just mortified. I was so deflated and so humiliated and embarrassed. I was just, I felt horrible that this had happened. And while my story isn't exactly the same as our verses from Proverbs today, obviously it's a different context and a different scenario, but it still made me think of this story. Those verses made me think of this story. And then that story made me think that this particular proverb is good advice, because being chastised for whatever reason in front of your peers, no matter where you are or why you're being chastised, is humiliating. And that is an experience that I have never forgotten. So back to Proverbs, back to wisdom literature. One of the commentaries that I read this week was from Dr. James Blimberg, and he writes that the 19th century study of the literature of the Old Testament began with the Pentateuch, and the Pentateuch is the first five books of the Bible, then moved to consider the prophetic books. He says, when I was doing graduate study in the Old Testament in the 1960s, scholars were rediscovering the importance of wisdom literature and were studying that material with great energy. Especially in Germany, research on this material was bringing fresh insights. But few of the results of that study have made their way into the teaching and preaching of churches. He says Proverbs 1, verses 2 through 7, sets forth the purpose of the entire book. Here is the instruction for the young, but also for senior citizens, teaching the art of steersmanship, which means skill. He says Proverbs aims to provide instruction on how to navigate the ship of life through the sea of the world with its delights and dangers. These two verses, then, he writes, verses 6 and 7 of chapter 25, warn against undue pride in certain circumstances. Now, where these verses are contained, the collection bears the heading, "These are the other proverbs of Solomon that the officials of King Hezekiah of Judah copied." The verses surrounding our text focus on staying out of trouble when in the presence of the king. Do not question the king's wisdom. Do not be drawn into corrupt schemes at court. Do not be hasty exposing others' misdeeds, unless you misstep and bring shame upon yourself. In sum, Dr. Lindberg writes, hold your tongue, keep your nose clean, and don't meddle. All good advice for those climbing the ladder of success at court. The admonition in verses 6 and 7 to avoid self-assertion and presumption at the royal court suits its context. In essence, it advises courtiers to keep a low profile, for it is better to be lifted up than put down. Not only, this isn't the only warning against pride in Proverbs or in the whole Bible. And he continues to talk about these examples of pride. And he says that one of the best-selling nonfiction books of recent years has been a book called The Road to Character by David Brooks. He says, much in the style of wisdom literature from the Bible, he offers advice on how to live and offers examples of persons illustrating that advice. I quote here from his comments on humility and pride. In the struggle against your own weakness, humility is the greatest virtue. Humility is having an accurate assessment of your own nature and your place in the cosmos. Humility reminds you that you are not the center of the universe, but you serve a larger order. And I really like that. I'm really grateful that Dr. Lindberg included that quote in his commentary, because I really appreciate what that says about humility. And I want to talk more about this, and we're going to, but we do have to take a quick break, so stay tuned and we will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about these verses, from chapter 25 of Proverbs about humility, about not putting yourself forward in the place of the king, lest you be chastised and told to go sit further down. And this is all what I was talking about before the break was more about Proverbs as a whole, with a little reference to this week's text in terms of humility. But As I said earlier, Jesus makes reference to this proverb in the gospel reading for this week. So we'll be talking more about it in the second half of this episode, a little bit more about what this proverb could mean in a greater context. And the proverb might be referring to life and customs at court, but I think these verses also remind me, personally, to not think too highly of myself. You know, there's a difference between self-esteem and undue pride. We shouldn't, you know, we don't need to be so self-effacing, so self-deprecating that we practically cease to exist. You know, it's okay to have a little self-esteem. It's okay to have pride in the things that you're good at, but it's when that pride takes over, when you have undue pride, when you start to put yourself above others for reasons that don't necessarily make any sense, that's when we start to have problems. That's when we need to remember that we should also be humble. And we shouldn't try to position ourselves higher than others simply because we think we need to be there. These verses refer to putting yourself higher at the table just because you think that's where you should be, regardless of where your assigned seating is. And like I said, we shouldn't put ourselves down for no reason. We need to have a healthy self-perspective of our abilities and our characteristics. But we shouldn't then assume that we are better than people that we meet, then we are better than anyone else or more entitled to a higher position. You know, maybe we are better at things than others in the same room or in the same circumstances, but that doesn't mean we don't have things to learn from every person that we meet. Regardless of our knowledge, we still can learn from other people. We don't necessarily have to put ourselves as higher simply because we think we are better at something than someone else. God calls us to love one another and to show kindness to our neighbors, and that's all. When we do that, we might be recognized for that work, or we might not. We might be asked to move to a higher place of honor or higher up at that table, or we might not. Receiving that place of honor isn't the point. Loving our neighbor is the point, and everything else is just actually a side benefit. If I think back to that earlier story that I was telling before the break about my sixth grade band experience, there was part of me that, in addition to being excited, being so proud that I'd gotten this opportunity from my teacher, I was also a little too proud. I was also bragging a little bit to my friends that I got to do something that they didn't. And so in some ways, I'd put myself above them. I thought, well, they don't get to do a solo, so I must be better than they are. And maybe I was, and maybe I wasn't. So on the one hand, the instructor, you know, maybe was right to put me in my place a little bit. Should he have done it in front of the entire class? Well, no. I mean, That pretty much affected me for a long time after that. But I also shouldn't have been trying to make my friends jealous either. I shouldn't have been trying to put myself above them and think of myself as better than they. The background of Proverbs as wisdom literature gives us an idea of how it was originally intended. In this case, as lessons for life in court. But I think we can still apply those lessons to our lives today, just as I mentioned with that story from band, just as I mentioned with not being too prideful, not placing ourselves above others. Just because we aren't members of a royal court, we're still members of all kinds of different groups, from family to friends to, you know, clubs, to our communities, to our congregations, to society as a whole. We are part of all kinds of groups, and it's a good reminder that we shouldn't try to elevate ourselves unnecessarily within those groups, but rather we should focus on what we have been called to do and try to live out the love that God has given to us. That's what we're called to do, to share that love with others, to be servants to one another, to remember not to put ourselves too far above, but just to live and be with each other and share God's love with each other. And I think that's actually a really good place to transition into the psalm for this week. And that psalm is Psalm 112, and it reads like this. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor. The wicked see it and are angry. They gnash their teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked comes to nothing. And again, that is our psalm for this week, Psalm 112. And Psalm 112 is an alphabetic acrostic that presents us, the readers, with an overarching view of its subject matter, which is the happy life. So again, there was commentary by Dr. Lindbergh this week, and Dr. Lindbergh writes that there's a pair of these alphabetic acrostics, or as he calls them, ABC psalms, and that's Psalm 111 and 112. He says these psalms are a pair and should be considered together because they are similar in form. Each begins with praise the Lord, or hallelujah in Hebrew. Each, he says, consists of 22 lines divided into 10 verses. Both are alphabetical acrostics, each line beginning with successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet, running from Aleph to Tav, that is, from A to Z. The contents of these two psalms are complementary. He says the focus of Psalm 111 is on God, and that of 112 is on humans. In other terms, Psalm 111 presents the basics of theology, while 112 offers reflections on anthropology. Especially interesting are certain phrases that occur in both psalms. Psalm 111, verse 3b, says that the Lord's righteousness endures forever. Psalm 112, verse 3b, and 9b use the same words to describe God's people. Their righteousness endures forever. So you see, we have that similarity between 111, which talks about God, and 112, which talks about people. He says, Psalm 111, 4b declares that the Lord is gracious and merciful. And 112, 4b states that God's people are gracious and merciful. Like God, like people, one might say. Isn't that great? Isn't that a wonderful way to think about that? God is gracious. We are gracious. These corresponding Psalms, 111 and 112, giving this picture of God who is gracious and merciful, God who is loving, and then we too can be like that because we too are loved by God. And he continues by saying, while there are such obvious similarities, there are also differences in line with the focus of each psalm. Psalm 111 sounds its theme in verse 2, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. The theme of Psalm 112 is struck by verse 1. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. There is yet another link between these two psalms. Psalm 111 ends with one of the themes of wisdom literature. And see, here again we have wisdom literature. We had Proverbs in the first part of this episode, and now in Psalms. He says, Psalm 11 ends with one of the themes of wisdom literature. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And he says that we should also see Job chapter 28, verse 28, and Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. He says Psalm 112 then begins by saying that the way for humans to find happiness is to begin with an attitude of reverence or fear toward God. This psalm, as noted in the first few verses, indicates that happiness lies in the fear of the Lord. And as I've discussed other times, and as Dr. Lindbergh mentioned what I just read, fear in this case means awe or reverence or amazement in the Lord and what the Lord has done. And we're going to talk more about awe and fear and reverence of the Lord, but we do have to take another break and we will be right back, so stay tuned.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about Psalm 112 and wisdom literature and what it means to have fear of the Lord, which in this case means awe or reverence of the Lord. And as with many of the Psalms, the one we're discussing today and ones we've discussed recently, this one points out many of the ways that the psalmist is in awe of the Lord, how the psalmist has reverence in what the Lord has done, and how the psalmist is and has been and will be blessed. Now, it can be easy to read a passage like this and liken it to a kind of prosperity gospel. And prosperity gospel is if we just act in a certain way, if we're just right with God and live in awe or fear of God, if we have that checklist and we do God's commandments and we do everything that God tells us and we're perfect in our relationship with God, then we will be physically and emotionally and spiritually blessed in our lives. If we're just perfect enough, we will be blessed. And this kind of thinking is popular and it's prevalent, but it tends to lead to disappointment and an unhealthy relationship with God because we still live in a broken world and things are still going to happen in our lives that don't fall under this category of blessedness. No matter how hard we try to achieve perfection in our relationship with God, we're never going to be perfect. We are never going to be able to cross off everything that we have on our to-do list that we think will make our relationship perfect. We're never going to achieve that perfection in this life because we are human. We have been given the freedom of choice and we make bad choices sometimes. It's not always, we don't always think appropriately and we don't always make the greatest choices in life. Doesn't mean that we don't try to make better choices, but we aren't ever going to achieve perfection in our relationship with God because we are fallible. But thankfully, God doesn't expect us to be perfect. God loves us as we are. But the psalmist still encourages us to be in awe of everything that God has done for us. And another commentary that I read this week is from Paul K.K. Cho, who is the assistant professor of Hebrew Bible at Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. And Professor Cho writes that, "Far from already blessed, the hero of the psalm suffers false reports and the thousand needles with which his foes try to bleed him. The psalm explains that the wise must persevere through present troubles and hold on to righteousness and to faith that God will, in his life or the lives of his descendants, recognize and reward his steadfast devotion to wisdom." And then he quotes verses 6 through 8 of Psalm 112, which say, "For never shall the righteous be moved and forever be remembered. He does not fear evil tidings. His heart is firm, secure in the Lord. His heart is steady. He does not fear till when he shall look upon his foes." And he continues by saying, "The psalmist does not so much teach as it preaches." Sorry, the psalm, not the psalmist. "The psalm does not so much teach as it preaches. It does not celebrate present blessedness, but encourages future faithfulness. It is not a description of a well-ordered world in which righteousness is equal to blessedness, but an exhortation to faithfulness in a tumultuous and altogether human world. Our world of historical contingencies of both mundane evil and everyday goodness." Isn't that amazing? I love, this is why I read commentaries to you, because sometimes they're just so beautifully written and they get at things that I'm trying to say but don't always have the words for. So I try to help you out by giving you other people's words. And the psalm speaks of a path of righteousness, and Professor Cho goes on to look at what that path might look like or what it might be in our lives. He says, the psalm itself has little to say in response to this question of what does that path of righteousness look like. Rather, he says, it directs us elsewhere. It points, as noted above, to Proverbs and perhaps also to Job. It also points to other psalms, like Psalm 1, which it shares a common beginning, happy is. Psalm 111, which Dr. Lindberg referenced, and he says, which it shares a common poetic form, as well as the theme of fear of the Lord. And Psalm 119, which is another wisdom psalm written in acrostic form. He goes on to say, but the little Psalm 112 does say about the path of righteous is important. The psalm expresses concern for the poor, as is characteristic of biblical literature, and claims that wisdom and righteousness find their expression in the practice of everyday life. And then he quotes verse 5. It is well with the one who lends graciously. He conducts his affairs with justice. At the heart of a righteous and wise life is the mundane matter of money and everyday business affairs. Professor Cho says, what it means to lend graciously and to conduct one's affairs with justice is ambiguous. What is significant, however, is the assumption that right living, which leads to happiness, concerns money and the affairs of daily life. Wisdom, the fear of the Lord, finds expression not so much in pious religiosity, but in the practice of everyday life. Not so much in church and synagogue, but in schools and offices. This perhaps is no surprise to students of Proverbs and wisdom literature generally, but it is a fine reminder nonetheless. Happy is the one who fears the Lord. He conducts his affairs with justice. And here's where we have this connection between this week's psalm and what we were just discussing in reference to the text from Proverbs, because, of course, both are wisdom literature. But once again, it comes back to that everyday characteristic of loving our neighbor. When we live in awe of the Lord, we realize all of the amazing things that God has done for us and for everyone. We realize that everything that God has done for us is based in love. And that love frees us to then love and serve our neighbor. Our lives aren't going to be perfect, no matter how hard we try. Bad things are still going to happen in the world because the world and humanity are broken. That doesn't mean that we simply give up, though. We don't just look at the world and say, you know what, this is screwed up, I can't fix it, I'm not going to try. Instead, we remember God's grace, God's love, and God's constant desire to be in relationship with us. Happy are they who live in fear of God, who live in awe of God and God's acts. If God loves us that much, then we are blessed, regardless of whether or not we are perfect. And if we are blessed, why wouldn't we want to share that blessedness with others, with our brothers and sisters, with our neighbors, with everyone that we encounter? We live in a society that encourages us in thousands of different ways every day, both tangible and intangible, to be selfish, to put ourselves first, to place ourselves at the head of that table regardless of everyone around us. We're told to be self-sufficient, not to rely on anyone. And there is some merit to that way of thinking, but God doesn't love us like that, and we aren't called to be hoarders of God's love. Unlike most things in life, the more we give away the love that we have been given, the more love we're given back. So why keep it to ourselves? One other commentary before we finish up for today, because it said something similar to what I'm trying to get at, and maybe it explains it better than I can. And this commentary comes from Paul O. Meyer, Associate Director of the Wabash Center for Teaching and Learning in Theology at Wabash Center in Crawfordville, Indiana. And he writes, Another interpretive reading of the text could provide quite a different image of what it means to be blessed and what riches and wealth entail. The psalmist offers a connection between riches and wealth with that of someone who is righteous, gracious, compassionate, generous, just, and who trusts in God. Perhaps the wealth and riches are not to be understood as simply monetary ones, but as gains in what contributes to a life well lived: grace, compassion, generosity, justice, and faithfulness. These are the treasures after which one might strive. In personal worlds touched by violence, relational and economic hardship, greed, and unfulfilled desires, this psalm offers people an alternative. It is as if the psalmist is offering something to which a person might cling as a life jacket of hope. Yet in our consumerist society, this may at first sound like bad news rather than good. It may sound like an anchor to hold one down rather than wings to enable flight. He continues, "That said, I think people of faith know well that striving toward personal wealth and a life of ease is transitory. It is generally only those things that transcend ordinary individual wants and desires that somehow connect with the eternal that are really worth our personal and communal efforts. They are what remain after we are gone." I do not think, and this is me again, I don't think that the psalmist is trying to say that only people who are perfect in their devotion to the commands of God, or that exhibit a life completely consonant with the will of God, will be recipients of these blessings. Instead, it seems to me that the psalmist is holding out a set of goals after which we can strive, and that by so doing we might be the recipients of blessing as the course of a life lived by faith, as that course of life lived by faith unfolds. And so this is just another way of saying what I was trying to say earlier, that we are blessed because we have been blessed by God's love, and we share that love with others. And that's the theme, I think, for both of these readings. Remembering why we are here. Remembering that God loves us so much. And remembering to use that love to better not only ourselves, but to better our neighbors. To make the world a better place for everyone. Because then everyone is blessed, not just us. And that is actually all the time that we have for today. I want to thank you for joining me as we discuss the readings from Proverbs 25 and Psalm 112 that were assigned for the week of August 28th, 2016. I hope you'll join me again tomorrow as we move to the New Testament readings from Hebrews 13 and Luke 14. As a reminder, you can find all of the Golden State Media Concepts podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download all of those podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud, and on whatever device you might have. There's all sorts of apps that you can download our podcasts on and have them right there on your mobile device. And as always, you can follow us on Facebook, Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, as well as Instagram. So all kinds of social media. Again, thank you for joining me. And always remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God.